Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens. The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Spain as we welcome you to another edition of TC Live from Madrid. Now just 25 days away from the year's second major in Paris. Here's what's coming up over the next half hour. It was a true escape from Alcaraz. The returning champ, playing his final match as a teenager, had a late maturing second set. Plus, the last American left in singles was upset in the quarterfinals by a rising star who has been fueled in Madrid by a new recovery drink. And we will reveal the only tennis player in the top 10 of the world's highest paid athletes. Can you guess who it is? Well, that is a question that will linger for a few segments of this show. Welcome in to our studios in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman, Jim Courier, Andrea Petkovic. We're going full doubles today, four wide, with our guy Andy Roddick as well. And Jim, this is a reunited show between Andy and Andy from years ago. Andrea, tell us the story.
Well, I don't know if Andy remembers, but we did play a tiebreak a long time ago on the practice courts of Madrid. His eyes tell me no, but his posture tells me yes.
Did you win?
I did not, but it was 5-4, and then you figured out that a kick serve would help more against a woman than a flat serve, and then I was done for.
Yeah, or it sounds like I should have just hit my spots with the first serve the first couple of times. I don't know, one of the two.
But you knew you had like a secret behind the scenes info on Roddick, right?
Well, my coach was coaching Karlovic the year before, so he told me Andy likes to go down the tee on the first two shots. I don't know if that was correct, but I covered that and I did get it back into play.
Yeah, well, I like going down the tee on Karlovic because there was no use in going wide because he wasn't going to return it if you made it. So there was no reason I was going to go over the high part of the net against Ivo Karlovic and risk actually missing a serve. I promise you that much.
What is it about Madrid with men and women practicing together? We had Grigor Dimitrov and Paula Badoza having a little hit earlier this tournament. Is that something going on with Madrid? Is it Madrid the magic?
Did you bring me here for the gossip?
I did.
I don't know. I'm not commenting. I'm here for the tennis.
Well, Marty Fish wouldn't play with Andy, right? Marty said no, and Andrea stepped up.
Yes, that was the story. You were practicing with Marty. He asked you to play a tiebreak with him, and he refused, so I stepped in. I like to consider myself to be the better Marty, but not everyone agrees.
I appreciate your willingness to jump in and make sure that I was fully prepared for Madrid, and I am very glad that that story didn't end with me losing a tiebreaker.
All right, so from Madrid a decade ago to Madrid today, we've got the returning champ Carlos Alcaraz looking to continue that 18-match win streak on Spanish soil, taking on Karin Khachanov, Roddick.
Yeah, his ability to just pull the string either way. He holds it to the last minute. And the transition game of Carlos Alcaraz is so good. His feel around the net, I'm not sure how you go about trying to pass him. He is so quick, moves so well at the net, slides 3 feet into a volley to be that fluent with the movement. And Khachanov, you better keep playing because he's got a forehand. You better keep moving. That's not good in the best of times, but especially when you're thinking about stopping the point. But Carlitos got in a little bit of trouble, but watch the shots that he's able to hit break point down. He's like a great shooter in basketball that always knows that he will make the next one. But the shots that he goes for down break points, you don't even feel like it's that risky. That's a shot he wasn't confident in a year and a half ago. And I've seen him stick that backhand line and is an improved shot, plays up in the court, is able to play back, and then transition in. Look how quickly he gets from 3 feet behind the baseline to hitting a drop volley. He could have caught that and thrown it over. That's how well this guy moves. It is unbelievable. And I'm not sure what you're supposed to do with that one because you know he's going to kick it. You know he's going to open the court, but you can't really do anything about it. This guy is on a roll, thinks he can win every set no matter how much he's down.
31 winners in total for Alcaraz, who has now reached at least the semifinals in all five tournaments where he has played as defending champion. 27-2 so far this year, three titles in four finals, and a winner in his last match as a teenager.
It was really tough for me to come back. You know, he had his chances to win the second set, but obviously I knew that I was going to have my chances, try to choke the opportunities, and really happy to get through.
Well, we saw it play out, Jim, but how was Alcaraz able to come through in those key moments of the match?
By becoming evil Knievel, like he always does. He's just a daredevil. The guy gets down in a really bad spot. He's down 4-1. He's down a couple of break points, and he's not going to let you decide. He's going to be the one to make things happen. So here's the first break point, and here comes the drop shot. Pulls the rug out from underneath you. So now you might look to cover that the next time you get the break point. So what's he going to do? Well, he's going to change it up. He's going to do a little bit different. Is he going to serve and volley? Sometimes that's his play. That would not be the choice he would make the next time. It would be the backhand drive down the line. Here you go. So now Khachanov hugging the baseline. He's looking for the drop shot. Well, I'm going to just hit one down the line. By the way, this is not an easy shot. It's low over the net. It's deep into the corner. It's high risk. He gets the high reward with it. So instead of playing three sets, he gets to get on the court and probably have a chat with Prakash afterwards.
Yeah, certainly. Andy, I mean, it's so impressive the way he's able to do really everything on the court at such a high level. And that drop shot set up by the fact that he really, you know, hits the ball so hard, so deep, so you can't even get there.
Yeah, Jim nailed it. It's the perfect compliment. You know, you have to respect the feel, but then you step in, he kind of blows your head off with power. And I'm not a victim of hyperbole, so I'm not saying this just because he won a match today, but I think he's the most complete 19-year-old male tennis player that I've ever seen, right? And Roger didn't win his first major until he was 21. Rafa won at 17, but he wasn't great on all surfaces until he was maybe 20, 21, 22. Alcaraz, there's really no weakness. The backhand used to misfire a little bit more than it does now. He's able to take it line. He used to kind of love the cross court a little bit more, but man, you know, most of us mere mortals, if we're missing some shots to get down in a game, it's really hard for us to just step up, play the right shot, pull the trigger, and not think about consequence. And he is a master at that, even at 19. Well, I guess depends on when the clock strikes midnight there in Spain. But a 19, 20-year-old, it's unbelievable to see.
Well, and the scary thing is, I think he still has room to improve. And I wonder what, Andy, what you think, because I feel like his elbow on his serve could go even further back. He could get even more rotation, so he would be able to serve even harder and get even more free points on that first serve. So I think it's crazy to think and scary to think for the rest of the field that there is still room for improvement.
Yeah, I actually think you're spot on. You know, you can see the more you go this way, the more spin, the more late movement you're able to get on the ball. You see the best servers. I automatically think of Pete Sampras, who Jim saw a lot of his movement during his career. But it's not only about the pace. We know Carlitos can hit at 135, 138. But once he starts getting that kind of late tail, right, that late Mariano Rivera curve that Jim and I have talked about before with some other players, Francis Tiafoe comes to mind, who can hit it big but doesn't get that late movement, he can still get that. And he has the racket work to be able to do it. Scary if that comes into play.
He's already been number one in the world. As a teenager, nobody's done that, and he can get even better. That is scary for the rest of the ATP Tour. Meantime, on the WTA, what's scary is world number one Iga Swiatek looking to win her eighth straight match on clay and become the second Polish woman to reach the semis in Madrid, raced out to a huge lead, Andrea.
Yes, and scary is the right word. We see it right here. She played a tremendous match today, set up her shots with the backhand down the line to put her best shot in the repertoire into play, and this is that one. The forehand from the center of the court. When Iga Swiatek is able to control the center of the court with the forehand, she's basically unbeatable. And this surface, the clay, allows her to do that more than any other surface. And in the second set, Petra Martic changed up her game. It is a terrible matchup for her because she likes the spinny balls that allow Iga to control the game. She flattened out her shots. I love when I see players think through the matches, and she tried that, but this one here, she's just too good, and she had no scare on closing out the match like in the match before against Alexandrova. Rock solid, the one to beat.
At her seventh bagel of the season, 11 winners, 4-for-4 on break points. Give her a shot, she will take advantage. Jessie Pegula, Veronika Kudermetova meeting for the very first time. This was kind of like a sandwich match, Andrea. First and third sets nearly identical.
It was such a strange match to watch, and we see the frustration. Both players a little bit tired. Kudermetova played only exclusively third set matches, and Jessie Pegula, she was very frustrated. We saw the racket flying, a lot of unforced errors, but then in the second set, she really found her game. She found her strike zone. She was able to take the ball earlier, those flat shots of Kudermetova, and she ran away with it. She was so ruthless in that second set, and she looked much more composed. But then in the third set, the frustration came out again. And one thing I really wish for Jessie Pegula is that she improves her serve. It's not a bad shot. The problem is she doesn't get any free points on it. And this is the difference. These little things are the difference in those matches that are so tight. And we see it right here. A free point on match point helps you to close it out.
Second player to reach the semifinals after four straight three-set matches. Kudermetova is moving on, and she will take on the world number one, Swiatek, who's won all three matches against Kudermetova, only dropped one game the last time they played. Jada Rubin's FanDuel pick of the day will be Sakkari and Sabalenka. We'll let you know what she picks. But first, how about Prakash with a player who is powered by hops?
What on earth was going through your mind after you lost the second set 6-love?
In the second set, I started laughing. Veronika, you want to kill yourself because again, three set, there was tough battle today. But to be honest, every day I took some beer, you know, for recovery. Yes, this is the most important.
You actually drank beer for recovery.
I started drink beer this week.
this is the first week.
Yeah, this is the first time I took a beer, and it works really well. I mean, I'm so happy and proud of myself that I managed this tough match.
I've got three pros here. Anybody else recover with beer?
She's German. You go first.
The German in me absolutely approves. No further comments.
I'll tell you one thing, Andy. I recovered from a lot of losses with beer. I don't know about you.
I know my way around a beer can. If I'm being honest, I do remember. I won't say it's my brother. It could be, but was playing a match late in his. I don't want to say it was his college career. It could have been, but was cramping and got through the last 20 minutes of a match by having a beverage.
That's incredible. By the way, playing Jessie Pegula, who has been notorious for in her press conferences, having a beer right there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the tennis world, the tennis gods bringing everything together.
Listen,
the narrative.
You know, and the players, we talk so much about how they treat their bodies like temples, how they're like race cars and everything counts and, you know, no gluten and all of this. But sometimes also relaxation does matter, and sometimes we do overthink things, and sometimes it's not as complicated. And if you just give yourself a little bit of a break when you're having kind of a tough week, maybe you relax. Maybe your body's not perfect. Obviously, dehydration's not ideal, and seriously isn't good. From my experience, that's a rumor. Might not be the best for hydration. But if you're relaxed out there, maybe good things happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
seems
I
like
agree.
It for Veronika.
And she's playing three setters every time. I mean, this is wild. Forget the Gatorade. Forget the electrolytes.
You know, we used to have a tournaments in Asia sponsored by, like, Heineken. And they would, like, literally, they had like, a case of beer waiting for you in the room. So, you know, it's there for an option,
listen,
right?
Hey, Steve, just because she's having beer doesn't mean that she's also not getting electrolytes from some source, right? You can do two things can be true, right?
That's fair. I don't know if that's a good mixture, though. I don't know if she's mixing beer with any sort of powder or anything like that.
Actually, the biathlon people in Germany, they do drink beer as a recovery, but they opt for the alcohol-free version because beer actually does have a lot of electrolytes.
No,
that's
not a Jaeger bomb.
That's quitter beer.
We'll see if she does some Four Loko next after her next match. A lot more still to get to here on TC Live. How about Borna Coric? That ranking has been born again. The reigning Cincy champ looking for some more Masters 1000 magic when we come back.
Andy, Jim, Steve, back on TC Live. Mark your calendars for the year's next major tennis channel. Proud once again to have exclusive daily live coverage of Roland Garros. Don't miss any of the action from the red clay in Paris. It all gets underway Sunday, May 28th, right here on Tennis Channel. Time now for our FanDuel match preview. Chanda Rubin back on the winning ways. 24-12 this year. Picked up, what did you call it? Chanda Cents,
not Chanda Bucks.
Not Chanda Bucks. 63 cents. Iga gets the win over Martic. So Chanda is still, unfortunately, looking to make up $6.79 Chanda Bucks cents. But let's see what she's got for today.
How's she going to get there?
Yeah, well.
Right here?
Picking Aryna Sabalenka over Maria Sakkari. What do you think, Andrea?
I think that's fair. Sabalenka has been the best player of the season. She has the most wins on the WTA Tour. Sakkari, not exactly known to play well in semifinals. I really hope for her that she breaks through eventually, but probably another safe pick by Chanda. And no, this is not shade.
That's not shade?
That's not shady.
Felt like shade. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, the thing with Sabalenka is she hits the ball so big. She is a confidence player, and she's fully confident. But she can have those days where it goes awry and she beats herself. Sakkari could play a safe match and potentially get out of there, but it's Chanda playing it safe in this one, ladies and gentlemen.
Andrea, you still doing the victory lap over Khachanov?
100%, yes. And somebody told me, I can't believe you were so biased and rooting for Khachanov. Of course I'm rooting for Khachanov if I picked him over all the other experts here.
Rumor has it she had a victory beer that night to celebrate.
I hate to say this, but if you're 24-12 and you're losing money, you're not doing a great job of paying attention to the odds and the plus minus of things. I think we need to understand what minus 300 for Sabalenka actually means.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make the bucks, you take the underdog.
Take the dogs,
you gotta
ride the dogs.
But in tennis, that doesn't always work out that way.
All right.
Right now, FanDuel giving all new users 10 times your first bet in bonus bets, up to $200, win or lose. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now and start making every moment more. Still to come, last time they played, it was the Roland Garros quarterfinals. Today, Andy Murray and Gael Monfils met in a different part of France, in a different level event.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Welcome back to TC Live. Emma Raducanu updating us on her health today. The former U.S. Open champ will miss the next few months and next two majors after having surgery on both of her hands and another procedure on her ankle. Now out of the top 100, we wish her a speedy recovery. Hope to see Emma back on court as soon as possible. But Andrea, this is tough news when she's having three separate procedures done.
It is tough news, but honestly, I don't mind it. She's very young, and I think it gives her a chance to just reset. She's such a good player, and I just hate what has happened to her over the course of the past year. So much pressure on her, so many expectations, and maybe this gives her a chance. It's terrible, obviously. I'm just trying to find some kind of light in this whole thing, that maybe it gives her a chance to reset and start from the beginning.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think it's also something for all of us to be mindful of, especially those of us who talk for a living on television, that we don't always know the facts. These are quiet injuries that she didn't broadcast that certainly hampered her and required surgery. So we wish her nothing but the best, and hopefully she'll come back stronger and better. The game's better when she's around. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy, when she does come back, obviously going to have to build that ranking back up now outside the top 100. But what was your reaction to seeing this news?
Well, you're disappointed because, listen, as an athlete, you want to be healthy and you want to be in the game and you want to be competing. But I definitely see Andrea's points. I mean, listen, she's had a rough couple of years, not only on the court, not only physically, but just with this new normal of an expectation set that's so outsized for someone who'd only won a handful of matches on tour. Just most of them happened at the U.S. Open. So she's a great player. She is still so young. This is, you know, the infancy of her career still. So, you know, listen, if you can take care of kind of three birds, one stone, and get healthy all at the same time, that's a bonus as well. So we obviously wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah, wish you all the best, Emma. Hope to see you back on court soon. How about some doubles action from Madrid? Team Tele back. Taylor Townsend, Leyla Fernandez taking on former Wimbledon champs Shea Souey and Barbora Strikova, Andrea.
Yes, and you will see in this highlight, it's the funniest highlight in the world because it's all Taylor Townsend hitting winners. So it tells you a lot about how this game went today. Taylor was outstanding. She was zoning so hard. Loves playing with Leyla Fernandez, but I have to give a shout out to Barbora coming back after a kid. She's back in the competition. She's already back in the, is that semifinals here? And look at this outfit. I love this fierceness from Taylor. She was really just as good as her outfit today. The second set got a little tighter, but how about another winner for match point? It's all Taylor Townsend today. So good to see.
Take a look at her Instagram story. She is dancing it up. She's now up to a career high 6 in the world in doubles, Taylor. In fact, half of the WTA doubles top 10 Americans. Well, back to the men we go. 6 years apart, Daniel Altmaier, born at Chorich. Last two lucky losers to make the quarterfinals in Madrid, Jim, playing each other for a spot in the final four.
Yeah, and Chorich was nearly out in his round prior against Davidovich Fokina, winning that 7-5 in a third set tiebreak. But he would have no trouble in this one, getting an early break in the first set and just putting the foot down with good quality tactical serving. Didn't miss many first serves. Altmaier was standing so deep to return them that Chorich just said, fine, I'll serve him volley. I'll take some speed off my serve. Lost 3 points on his first serve all match long and was able to use his backhand, which is his best ground stroke, with great effect. And ride out a little bit of a challenge here. Altmaier pressed hard to try and get a break point. Nearly had one, but Chorich, with a brilliant lob winner, really knocked down that challenge and went forward from there. Triple match point, an errant backhand from Altmaier, but stand and cheer. Altmaier started the tournament just inside the top 100. He inside the top 70 come Monday. Chorich, he's still going strong, and he'll take on Alcaraz for the first time in the semifinals, and he gets a well-deserved day off, too, after playing nearly 3.5 hours yesterday. Today, not so much out of the tank, though.
When Chorich won Cincy last year, he was ranked 152, now up to 16. In the live ranks. While the Madrid Masters had two lucky losers and a qualifier in the final eight, the challenger in Aix-en-Provence has four former top 10 guys, Andy, including a huge first rounder between Andy Murray and Gael Monfils.
Yeah, look at that in the back. It's the only challenger I've seen with a skybox, Steve. I mean, they got some serious talent at this tournament. But how much fun is this for the crowd to be able to see these two at an intimate venue? And credit to Murray. Listen, the guy is a hustler. There's no ego. Entering a challenger, sure, I need the matches. I'll play anywhere. And obviously the artistry of Monfils on full display, coming back from some time off, needs to find his paces. But watching these two go at it is just so much fun. What a treat for the crowd, as Monfils is never boring. Even his normal shots look a little bit difficult. So this is just really fun. Listen, we've been in the same game, and I've seen 5 drop shots already off the records of both of them. So as we fast forward, a pretty routine match for Murray, which I'm sure he would welcome these days. It feels like every match he's played this year has gone for about 7 hours. So clean tennis from Andy Murray, 6-3, 6-2. Good to see these guys get another shot at each other.
I love this for both of them. I love this for the fans as well. All previous matches had been at either Masters or Majors.
Yep.
And now they're in Aix-en-Provence having a blast.
Yeah, well, this is what you get when you have these two-week Masters 1000s and WTA 1000s. Mm-hmm. There's opportunity in the second week for the players that lose early to go compete somewhere else. There's the Phoenix Challenger, which is wonderful. That's on the heels of Indian Wells in week two, and you get players in the top 50. So this is really good. And there are lots of points available. What there's not is a lot of money. You lose in the first round of this tournament, it's like $1,300. That doesn't cover train fare, probably, for these guys. That's not why they're there. They want the matches. Yes, the points are valuable as well. Tommy Paul's playing in the Challenger in Italy, along with Brandon Nakashima. But these are supercharged Chatley's, €200,000 prize money. And it's mostly about the points, but it's also about the workload. These players need it and want it when they didn't get it in Madrid.
Yeah, how much more important, Andy, is it to get match play as opposed to just practice play before another Masters 1000?
You can't fake match play. I mean, you can practice all you want, but until the light goes on and it actually matters for something and the pacing is similar to a normal match, and, you know, you have the crowd reactions and you have the ins and outs, and, you know, it's a lot easier to make a return at 30-40 when you're in practice than it is when something's actually on the line. But, you know, the Jim's spot on. They need matches, both of these guys. You're not going to see someone who's overworked entering a challenger, but you are going to see some people who are thirsty for some matches.
All right, Andy Murray, moving on in the south of France. Time for the social net, and Forbes every year puts out its top 10 highest paid athlete list. Only one tennis player on the list this year, and it's Roger Federer. The man made $95.1 million, the .1 coming on court, the 95 coming from being one of the greatest endorsers to ever walk planet Earth, Jim.
Yeah, no, and the guy still got his hand out. I saw him at Madison Square Garden with free tickets last night with Roger. Can't you just pay for the tickets? What's going on, Roger? He hosted Andy in Brooklyn at the Met Gala. Can this guy get, I mean, can he get his hand in his pocket sometime, Andy, for goodness sakes?
I don't know, but I'm just, you know, thank goodness something good finally happened for Roger. I've just been dying for something great to happen to him. My heart's been breaking, so thank goodness he actually made some money this year. I was worried about him.
I mean, this is the edgiest we're ever going to see him. Roger, kind of drunk. Maybe that beer from Veronica has been working on him with a pizza in his hand. I'm here for it. I love post-tennis Roger, maybe more than I've loved tennis Roger.
Well, the greatest deal that was ever struck by his manager, Tony Gottschalk, $30 million a year for 10 years, guaranteed from Unique Low, and he doesn't even have to play. And he's still living that. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is what good management can do if you're a great athlete.
Yeah, and he's now involved with that Swiss shoe company On. Also just had a deal with the eyewear company, Oliver Peoples. What I'm curious about is how much longer he can stay in the top 10 of this list retired.
Yeah, well, you know, Arnold Palmer stayed in the top 10 of this list for a long time because he established his credentials and he was never going to make a mistake that was going to damage his brand. And I think the same can be said for Roger.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
He can stay there.
Soccer stars at the top. Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, $130 million. I mean, Mbappe was up there as well.
I'm sorry to interrupt you here. It's football. Thank you.
Well, not in America. Not in America. It's still
yes.
Soccer. But, you know, when you go back
yes.
home, it'll be football. But
daggers.
We play soccer in the U.S.
Oh, they're daggers.
That's how it is.
Okay.
When we come back, we will talk about what's coming up tomorrow. Big Thursday schedule. Quarterfinals, 7 a.m. Eastern. WTA semis, 10 a.m. Eastern. We got TC Live at 6 p.m. Get in, Jim. What do you want
hey,
to say?
Andrew, you know that Steve also does some work for the NFL Network, right? You know
that. Oh, he does.
And that's, and that's real football. So, you know.
Just so you know, you're stepping on his toes.
Just when you're on this desk, we know what football and soccer are. We'll be back after this. Back with our hot shot of the day, Roddick. What do you know? It's that teenager for one more day, Chucky Alcaraz.
It's so weird. It's every single day it's Chuckster, and it's hitting it from a different position. Yesterday it was from 6 feet behind the baseline, hitting up the backhand pass. Today it's sliding 6 feet across and hitting a beautiful drop shot, deft touch across the body. I've run out of superlatives, Steve.
He puts the magic in the magic box. Thursday's slate of action. Karatsev, Zizhen taking on the first match. Then Sakari Sabalenka. How about Tsitsipas, Struff, Swiatek, Kudermetova? Can't wait for all of these. Let's head back to Madrid for a preview with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back at our FanDuel desk. A lot of people here waiting to see who you give the edge to in this semifinal between Aryna Sabalenka and Maria Sakkari. So no pressure. Who you got?
Well, listen, they both had tough matches in the last one, both needing three sets to come through. I think if they just kind of both bang away from the baseline, you're going to give the edge to Sabalenka for sure. The question for me is Sakkari going to be able to use that all-court game? Is she going to be able to use a bit of slice, really dictate with that forehand, mix up the spins, not just kind of go after it, but give a few high, heavy ones and then kind of flatten it out? If she can mix it up well, execute throughout the match, I actually like her to pull off the upset. I think it's going to be tough to do in this altitude. So if you want an official pick, I'm leaning towards Sabalenka, but Sakkari, she can get it done.
And you're surviving in the hot seat, P. We love to see it. It's going to be amazing action Thursday here in Madrid.
Picante.
5-3 Sabalenka head-to-head, but this is their first meeting on clay, so it should be interesting. On the men's side, Stefanos Tsitsipas, Jan-Lennard Struff, the lucky loser coming through, Jim, and in fact, the only previous tour-level match on clay, he won 2019 Barcelona.
He's won two of the five meetings, so he'll have some confidence there, and he'll play with that nothing-to-lose mentality. He is the hammer. Everything he sees is a nail. He's going to be just trying to thump the ball against, obviously, Tsitsipas' more well-rounded arsenal. I like Steph in that one, but I don't think it's going to be straightforward.
Does he have the right Struff, Andy?
Yeah. Nice.
Grate some cheese on this show.
Yeah, hashtag Donnie Wahlberg. I love it. But one of the things that I'm going to be interested in is listen, Struff, last match, was coming in on a lot of second serves. He's been doing it. I saw him in Monte Carlo, really kind of bone-crushing that return on the backhand side and getting in. A different tactic, serves big, but will Steph run second serves in on his body a little bit more and try to mitigate that option? And will Struff up the risk profile on his second serve? Because we know Steph, listen, he's not going to return first serves great, but he is really good at giving himself space and giving himself distance between his opponent on second serve. So two things, will Tsitsipas run the ball in on second serves, and will Struff be able to up the risk profile a little bit and make Steph uncomfortable when he does miss that first ball?
Well, I mean, I have to stick with the German. I think that's my obligation here. I'm sorry. I'm secretly leaning towards Tsitsipas. But hey, Struffy, as we like to call him, can do that serve and volley. He can go and close the net. So if he can attack Steph's backhand and close the net nicely, who knows? Anything is possible in Madrid.
What do we like to call him?
Struffy.
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 Like the throaty R.
Yeah, Struffy. You'll have a sore throat by tomorrow if you try that.
Aslan Karatsev taking on Zheng Zhizhen, the revelation, the 26-year-old from China. They did meet once before. It was an indoor hard court, and Zheng actually won that match. How do you think it'll play out on clay?
I loved Zheng yesterday. I think it was a beautiful match against Taylor Fritz. I was on the edge of my seat. Great commentators on that match. And I will go with Zheng just because for the heck of it, you know. I love his game. I think he's awesome to watch.
We've seen big things from Aslan Karatsev, Andy, not just his calves, but what happens tomorrow?
Paphos Maximus, I think, wins this match. And oh, by the way, I will never call him anything but Struffy ever again in my life. That's done. He no longer has a first name. But I don't know. This is an interesting one because they've both been playing above their skis a little bit based on their recent results. Listen, when Karatsev gets a heater going, he's tough. He can hit winners from both spots. So I like Karatsev in this one, but it's going to be interesting because they're not playing against a Medvedev or a Fritz or someone who's ranked a lot higher. There's a lot at stake here, so expect these guys to be a little bit more nervous than they have been so far in this tournament.
Guess who's the higher-ranked player in this match? It's Zhang. Zhang is inside the top 100. Karatsev started this tournament in the qualifying, ranked outside the top 120. He's closing back in. We know at his apex how good he can be, but I think Zhang might just get him here. I don't know. I'm feeling that mojo that Andrea is talking about. It's not just all about Struffy. You got to give Zhang a little love, too.
Yeah, he's had the best tournament of his life. Why not keep it going? The four of us will be back once again tomorrow on TC Live. Four more days of coverage from La Caja Mágica. It all begins tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern. For Andy and Jim, I'm Steve. Thanks so much for joining us on TC Live.